You're listening to the Tennis.com podcast. And here are your hosts, Nina Pantic and Irina Falcone.
Welcome to Inside the Tour, the Tennis.com podcast. I'm your host, Nina Pantic, and I'm joined by Irina Falcone.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Our guest today is Othmane Garma, known as Coach OG. He's a Moroccan tennis player who played for Howard University before getting into coaching and being a hitting partner. He has worked with the likes of Treat Huey and Max Mirny. He was part of Sloane Stephens' team with Kamau Murray when she won the U.S. Open and when she won the Miami Open. And most recently, Monica Puig announced that she's hired him to be her hitting partner, also alongside Kamau Murray. We interviewed Coach OG a few weeks ago, so the news of him working with Puig is very new, and we'll all have to watch and see how that unfolds in 2019. Thanks for joining us, OG.
Thank you guys for having me.
I think we should just start with you and your story and how you got into tennis to begin with.
Sure. So I was born and raised in Morocco, and I lived there for 14 years. I got introduced to tennis through my dad's coach. Actually, my dad played professional soccer in France. And on my brother's fifth birthday, his coach gave us tennis rackets as birthday present. And from there, my dad just signed us up for, you know, tennis classes. In the beginning, it was just summer camps. And we fell in love with it. We were doing tennis, karate, and soccer. By the age of 10, my dad pretty much gave us a decision, like, which sport you want to pick. And it was no question that it was tennis. I just fell in love with tennis because, I don't know, just an independent sport. And I feel like I do well individually. On team sports, I am a team player, but I don't know, tennis just, you know, from the beginning, it was just my passion.
So the love started at the first strike?
I would say that. I was back in Morocco. I remember it was a summer camp. I think it was in 1992. Yeah, I was 7 years old. And I was just having fun with friends and, you know, hitting the ball back and forth, trying to get the ball back in the court. And from there, started playing a little bit of tournaments. I wasn't good enough in the beginning. I didn't really have all the resources that, you know, the top players would have. I just loved the part of, you know, seeing yourself developing and getting better. It teaches you more about yourself and how to deal with situations. And I just enjoy that. I still enjoy it till this day.
I think people know your name and maybe your face from being associated with Sloane Stephens. Is it something that, are you still working with her? And
So I've worked with Sloane Stephens. I started working with her on May 2017 up till US Open 2018. So I did about 16 months with her. And no, I'm not currently working with her. I'm on a break. I know Coach Kamau Murray is on a break as well, and I'm currently back in D.C. where I used to live. And one of the main reason why I stopped working with Sloane was, you know, I had a baby. She was born on June 13 of this year, and once my baby was born, I just felt like I didn't want to be too far away from her, and I just didn't want to miss these moments, you know, being around and, you know, and enjoying, I guess, fatherhood, you know. So and in the moment, I'm here back in D.C. working with a few juniors, and I still have, you know, a few professionals that come in town and just, you know, get a workout in, get a practice in. And so, you know, I try to stay connected on that pro level. But right now, mainly, I'm just, you know, trying to be a father and trying to learn parenthood.
I don't think anybody can fault you for that. I mean, ooh, sorry, I'm here. I'm trying to be here for my baby. I don't think a lot of people are going to say anything bad about that. Yeah, I think it's very common, you know, people, a lot of times, fans just are curious about the players having babies and, you know, players' wives and husbands like having to stay home with the baby. But it's very rare that you hear about coaches having to change their entire life once you have a kid. And I mean, it definitely changes you. I mean, what's your life now compared? I mean, before it was just you and your wife and you had your job, you were working with Sloane, and all of a sudden your whole world changes.
No, definitely. Yeah. it completely changed. So I was living in Los Angeles from 2015 till beginning of 2018. And once we found out that, we're pregnant, we decided that, the best option is, to move back to the DMV area, which is DC, Maryland, Virginia. And that's where my parents reside, and that's where my fiance's parents reside too. So the first thing is, we made the move back from LA back to DC. That's one change. The other one is, yeah, stop traveling. And I'm mostly, having my own routine now, changing diapers. I try to change, one diaper a day. That's what my fiance wants. So, happy life, happy wife. And I mean, it's to me, it's always going to be tennis. It's always going to be sports. It's always going to be fitness. But I do look forward to getting back on the road.
I mean, no matter what happens, you still got to be part of Sloane's, I mean, arguably her best year. I mean, you were there for when she won the US Open, part of the Fed Cup, when she won the Miami Open. I mean, that must have been incredible. And how did you even get on that team?
So previously, I've worked with Trett Huey, Max Mirny, Samdev Devarman, Dominic Inglot. So I was mostly on the ATP side, and I've worked with Trett Huey for about 7 years. And end of 2016, I wanted to take a time off from traveling. So beginning of 2017, I was still living in LA, me and my fiance, just enjoying LA, working part time, same thing, like as I told you guys, tennis. And I got contacted by Sloane's former trainer, Abdul Salah, who is Naomi Osaka's trainer. And he reached out to me knowing that I stopped traveling with the guys and wanted to see, if I was looking back, looking to go back on the road and, potentially maybe work with Sloane. So, I was open to the idea, of course. I mean, I've always knew who Sloane was, but I don't think we've ever talked or developed a relationship. And I've always knew that, she had the potential and the talent in my eyes to be number one in the world. In my eyes, I think she's one of the best athletes in the world. And when that opportunity came, I didn't hesitate to say yes. So we did, the 2 week trial with Sloane on the court, and she got to see my personality, got to see my, philosophy, my methodology, and I got to see her as a person off the court and a player on the court. And after 2 weeks, yes, it just felt like, it was the right thing to do for me, at least.
So you worked with a few of the guys, and all of a sudden, a girl reached out and you're part of her team. What do you think is one of the biggest differences, obviously, other than the fact that, yes, they are male and one is female? What do you think are a few things that set two genders apart on the tennis court?
I think a lot of it has to do with the emotional side of it. From my experience, I feel like you have to motivate, I guess, the female athlete, and to keep reminding them that, hey, this is what you need to keep doing every day, regardless of what happened yesterday. But on the man's, on the other side, I don't think you need to tap into that emotional side too much. I think you just need to tap into to them trusting you and feeling that you've got their back. And that goes for both ways, for a male or a female tennis player. You have to earn the trust in the beginning. The only thing I saw the difference was the emotional side of it. Comforting the female athlete more than you have to do with the male athlete.
Do you have any favorite moments or stories from being on the road, either with Sloane or with the guys? I mean, anyone that you've worked with that stands out to you?
Yeah, I remember first day working with Max Mirny and Trett Huey, and how Max Mirny set the tone from the first day. Like knowing Max Mirny, and to me, he's a legend in my eyes. He's accomplished, so many great things, and the way he came off, it was just, the most humble, most generous person that I've ever come across. He pretty much, from the beginning, he said, "Listen, there's no stupid question. There's no wrong or right answer. The only stupid question is the question that you don't ask." And he said, listen, like if we all get better individually, then collectively we will be better. And I appreciate that aspect and that approach. It taught me a lot. And I don't know, it just made, the whole relationship comfortable from the beginning. He kind of set the bar, he set the standards, and we were successful that year. We cracked top three in the world and finished top eight, made London that year. And I think I've learned a lot being around Max Mirny and Tret Huey, and being around Sloane. The best memory being with Sloane is just, seeing that whole transformation from, her having a surgery to her holding the U.S. Open trophy. And to me, to have the chance or the opportunity to be part of that whole run, I'm just so grateful for it. Because I can talk about it from experience and, kind of like how we went day-to-day basis. And then seeing her, winning the Fed Cup and, cracking top 10 for the first time in her career, winning Miami, making the French Open final. It just felt like I was like, man, like, okay, well, this is what Sloane's supposed to be doing. These are the results that she's supposed to be getting. Because to me, just her talent alone, I don't know, would keep her inside the top 20. And if she keeps, working hard consistently and keeps sacrificing and committing to her craft, I don't see a reason for her not being, top five consistently. But that all of that evolves on how much belief and how much commitment she has towards her craft.
I think that no one can really argue that Sloane had one of the biggest, like you said, transformations. I mean, she just skyrocketed from out of nothing. Obviously, she had performed exceptionally well, had a hell of a career beforehand, but she had unbelievable results. And so you went from working with Tret Huey and Max Mirny, and those are arguably two amazing legends that you worked with. Going from doubles to singles, what was that transition like?
It was definitely different because, doubles and singles, and then, male and a female. It was different, and the patterns is different. The way you start the day is different. I mean, I feel like everything was different. And the only thing that I tried to bring to the table was a positive energy. Keep the atmosphere fun and light, but keep attention to small details, because I feel like, small details every day would paint the whole picture. So I came in just wanting to see how the dynamic of, Kamau, Sloane, and the whole team works. So I was just looking in from the outside in, and if there was any void that I feel like I could add to, I was there. And I try to lead by example. I try to always, be, I mean, as cliche as it sounds, be happy every day, be positive, come to work with huge enthusiasm, make sure Sloane understands that I got her back regardless of, what happened. And I think the beginning was I was trying to just earn her trust, before even engaging in telling her what I think she should be doing or how she should be doing things. That's one of the major differences.
What has been your role with both the doubles teams and Sloane? Are you the hitting partner? Do you get to do coaching? Do you advise them? Do you have to, I don't know, get the water bottles or carry the bat? Like, what's the day-to-day life, the role look like, the job description?
Yeah, no, I honestly do everything. I'll hit with them. I'll scout. I'll come up with a strategy. I'll get the waters. I'll get the towels. I'll do the laundry. To me, like when I'm involved with a player, I just make sure that, I take care of anything they need me to take care of off the court, so they can perform at their best when they're on the court. With Tret, I was Tret's coach for 7 years, but then, when he was working with Max, I wasn't Max Mirny's coach. I was just Tret's coach who's playing with Max. But I got the chance to learn from Max. I got the chance to, to talk to him about strategy, talk to him about, tensions, talk to him about all kinds of any questions that I had regarding tennis. So that helped me a lot to grow as a person and as a coach and as a hitter. As far as Sloane, I was mainly just hitting with her and doing fitness. And if come out needed my, my opinion or my input on anything, I was there. So come out and I would sit down and watch matches and come up with strategy and, with Sloan, again, like whatever she needed off the court or on the court, I was there to try to deliver.
You went to college, Howard University, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so did you play college
I did play
tennis?
college, yes.
Okay, and go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I played one for singles and doubles for Howard.
Okay, so you went to college, you went and played college tennis for 4 years. Tell us a little bit about what happened afterwards. Did you go and you just right away got into, hey, I'm gonna go and do the whole coaching thing. I want to play professional a little bit. Obviously, finding what works is a little bit difficult. So tell us a little bit about how you decided on where you're at now.
I've always wanted to be part of, the tennis elites. I wanted to surround myself with the best tennis players, with the best coaches, because I just love tennis so much and I just want to keep learning, and I just wanted to find a way how to kind of get in the door, and with Trett being, best friend of mine for the past 15 years, and having the chance to work with him, like I saw the potential in him, and I guess he saw the passion in me. So after college, I was still, working with Trett, and in the meantime, I was running my own swim and tennis. It's an outdoor facility, and back then, so like I was telling you guys, I was born in Morocco, and we moved to the U.S. when I was 14. So from we moved to Virginia in 1999. So from 1999 to 2013, I had my Moroccan citizenship and I had my green card. So I wasn't able to really travel that much if I wanted to be a full-time coach on the tour. So with Trett, I was part-time and I was only doing tournaments in the U.S. while I was running my own swim and tennis facility, my own program. Once I got my citizenship, I decided to go full time on the tour, which happened in 2014. So after college, like I said, it was always going to be tennis. And then I had an opportunity to work at Morgan Stanley, which I did take. So I kind of got away from tennis. I worked at Morgan Stanley for about 9 months, and the passion wasn't there for me. I wasn't excited to go to work at Morgan Stanley. To me, I don't know. It's just, I guess I'm different. Most people would say, "Hey, man, why not? Why not Morgan Stanley? You'll make good living, but it's more about being happy. And to me, time is everything. It's about how I spend my time, more about how I spend my money. So I've always, after 9 months of Morgan Stanley, I walked into my boss's office and I just, thanked him for the opportunity, and then I went back to tennis and coached a lot of juniors, worked with Trett Huey, worked with Samdev Devarman, worked with another guy, Sanam Singh. Like I said, I was always trying to stay involved with the elites just to get a breakthrough. And once I got my citizenship, I told Trett that, listen, I'm ready to commit, full time with you and see how far we can take this.
Morgan Stanley, actually, my sister is my financial advisor and she works there. So that's funny. So you actually were a financial advisor? Were you
Yes.
a CFA? Okay.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, it's a whole different ball game. It's not exactly being on the court. See, but it's so interesting just from our perspective because a lot of people just think, okay, they're tennis coaches, that's all they do. But a lot of times there were other careers beforehand.
Correct. Correct. No. And I, again, like, everybody needs to find, their purpose, and I think the purpose is driven by passion. Once you find that, every day shouldn't feel like you're going to work. You're just going to, have fun and accomplish whatever you're trying to accomplish that day, and hopefully get closer to your, your goals, or, and whatever you're trying to, reach.
Did you also play high school tennis? Was that a big part of, because if you moved to America at 14, I mean, that's a really tough age. Did you just jump into high school tennis? Did that help you a lot? Or how big was that?
No, it was big for sure. Moving to to the U.S., when I was 14, it was tough. You know, that whole period was tough because I didn't, you know, the only people that I had were my parents and my brother, and neither of them spoke English. Imagine just at 14, leaving everything you're familiar with behind and, you know, just being dropped into a country where you don't speak the language and have no understanding of how anything works. And, you know, you have no friends, no extended family. And in a way, I had no idea what to expect and how to prepare. And my parents couldn't advise me because they had no clue either. The school program does an amazing job with their English as single language program. That's what I entered when I went to high school, just to learn English. And yes, I did play high school tennis, which was a huge part because I got to meet the former coach. His name is James Holcomb. And he really took an interest in me and took me under his wings. And he was such a great person and played a huge role in my success. He pretty much helped me with everything, honestly. He helped me with homework. He helped me taking me from high school practices to, you know, to regular practices at this club in Virginia. And he helped me with the college process. So, I mean, I can't thank the guy enough. So, yeah, high school tennis played a huge role in my upbringing.
It's not easy just to be able to go to a completely different country and just adapt as well as you did and be as successful as you did. But it's clear anybody can do it if they put their minds to it. And as with much passion, like I can definitely hear it in your voice when you're talking, you are definitely passionate. And so on a more personal level, I just want to know, so you came from Casablanca. Do you visit often?
I do visit often. Last time I went to Morocco was summer of 2016. It's always good to go back to where you come from and, you know, kind of, you know, reminisce of, you know, what if this thing didn't happen, where would I be? I'm just, again, like I'm grateful for everything that has happened. I don't know. In my eyes, I've already won. You know, I've accomplished more than I could pray for in a way. You know, and now I just want to give back. I just want to give back to the next generation just by, you know, just by telling them my story and saying that, listen, you know, anything is possible. And truly is, really. And anything is possible if you put your mind into it and, you know, you're able to suffer the hard times and not give up and not quit and, you know, kind of keep your goal alive and guard your dream with your actions that you take daily. You know, with any team I get to work with any player I get to work with, that's the methodology I try to bring to them and try to see it. Because, you know, like every day we get the chance to look at, you know, the positives or the negatives. You know, like we work on our bodies, but I feel like we don't work on our minds enough. And, you know, sports, it's all, you know, emotions, it's all, you know, mindset. It's not just, you know, sure, forehand and backhand. Yeah, if you fix the technique, if you fix the footwork, maybe you could, you know, hit less errors on that side. But, you know, if the mindset and the heart are not in sync together, I think it'll take time or it'll be a little difficult to get to what you're trying to get to.
I'm feeling super inspired right now with the way you're talking. Makes me feel like I can go conquer the world and do
you
anything.
You can.
Okay, let's wrap up with just one question looking ahead about, I guess, women's tennis, but I guess about Sloane. What's your take on what do you think she's going to accomplish in 2019? Do you think another Grand Slam? What are the heights?
I think Sloane could, you know, reach top three in the world. I think she definitely has more slams in her. Like I said, it all depends on the work ethic and the commitment she has. The talent is obviously there, but I know she's hungry. I know she truly believes that, you know, she has all the right tools to have consistent results and maybe to, you know, to keep reaching new heights. Who knows, could be number one. I'm not trying to put it out there, but, you know, like I said, I believe in Sloane 100% in her ability and in her talent. And, it's always Sloane versus Sloane. You know, it depends which Sloane shows up to the tournament. But I definitely have high hopes for her. And it's going to be interesting with the, you know, with the women's tennis. You know, Serena's back. Naomi's playing some great tennis. You know, Svitolina is, you know, running on a high horse right now. You know, so is Sloane. So it'll definitely be interesting. 2019 will be interesting.
We'll see how all those storylines play out and watch closely, and definitely watch Sloane closely. But we'll also keep an eye on you and see what you end up doing in the future. I'm looking forward to seeing how, see if you come back on tour.
That sounds great, Mia. Thank you, guys.
Okay, that's it for this episode of Inside the Tour, the Tennis.com podcast. Thanks, OG, for coming on with us and talking and sharing your story.
Awesome. I appreciate you guys. And again, thank you guys for having me, and looking forward to talk again in the future.
I've been Nina Pantic.
And I've been Irina Falcone. Thanks for listening.
You've been enjoying the Tennis.com podcast. For all the latest news and events, head over to Tennis.com.